Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, a biblically Lutheran podcast for Toledo and beyond. You've got your daily Bible reading, looking at Colossians chapter 2. Paul writes, "Indeed, I want you to know how much I am struggling for you and for those in Laodicea, and for all those who have not seen me personally. I am doing this so that their hearts may be encouraged as they are brought together in love and into all the wealth of assurance that understanding brings, into the knowledge of the mystery of God which is in Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Him. I say this so that no one deceives you with persuasive speech that sounds reasonable. For though I am absent bodily, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your orderliness and the firmness of your faith in Christ. Therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to walk in Him, by being rooted and built up in Him, and strengthened in the faith just as you were taught, while you overflow in faith with thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, which are in accord with human tradition, namely, the basic principles of the world, but not in accord with Christ. For all the fullness of God's being dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been brought to fullness in Him. Christ is the head over every ruler and authority. You were also circumcised in Him with the circumcision not done by human hands, and the putting off of the body of flesh, and the circumcision of Christ, when you were buried with Christ in baptism. And in baptism you were also raised with Him through the faith worked by the God who raised Christ from the dead. Even when you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ by forgiving us all our trespasses. God erased the record of our debt brought against us by His legal demands. This record stood against us, but He took it away by nailing it to the cross. After disarming the rulers and authorities, He made a public display of them by triumphing over them in Christ." This is the word of our God. This letter to the Colossians has a lot of very practical, down-to-earth applications for you and for me. And the way that it highlights the supremacy of Jesus Christ, and where Paul really draws from the work and the person of Jesus Christ and makes very practical application to the Colossians. I mean, he does that in the other books too, but he does it in such an earthy, kind of, you know, down-to-earth, straightforward kind of a way. And it's not like, you know, he's writing in a sweat like when he's writing to the Galatians. And it's not this, you know, first of all, zooming up to 30,000 feet like he does in Ephesians. And he starts by talking about the great and wonderful mysteries of God as he slowly descends and slowly works his way in. Here in Colossians, he just starts out with the basic fact that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, and he's also the Son of Mary with an actual body. That was the main point from chapter 1. And this Jesus Christ was crucified, and he was raised from the dead, and he just draws application straight from that. And look at the opening paragraph or two. Really, verse 2 is something that really we need to note. Paul says, you know, he's struggling for those in Laodicea, and he's struggling and working and praying on behalf of all those who have not seen him personally. That would include you and me, of course. And Paul says, "I'm doing this so that their hearts may be encouraged as they are brought together in love, and to all the wealth of assurance that understanding brings, into the knowledge of the mystery of God, which is in Christ." And what he's warning against is there in verse 4. "I say this so that no one deceives you with persuasive speech that sounds reasonable." Back there in verse 2, he really talks about the emotion and the feeling and the feelings that proper doctrine build, right? It's assurance and understanding and peace of mind and the knowledge of our God in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, well, verse 4, watch out, because some people may make some very persuasive arguments that sound very persuasive to our human reason, but that is not the scriptural truth. Although it may make sense to our minds, it is not what God has said. And so Paul says, well, verse 5, even though I'm not with you, I rejoice to see that you are orderly and that you are standing firm in Jesus Christ. And that kind of touches on something that I'm sure we've talked about before. This relationship between what we call doctrine and practice, right? doctrine and practice. Doctrine is what we believe and what we teach, and practice is what we do. And note that it's not doctrines and practices, or one or the other isn't plural. Both of them are singulars, doctrine and practice. And so everything that we teach eventually leads to this one central point that Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God and the Son of Mary, died for our sin, and he was raised from the dead. And everything that we teach can be traced back to that. I don't care how controversial or how misunderstood it might be in the world or in the church today. If you can find, you can find any single doctrine in Scripture, and you can lead it back to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so Paul says, I want you to understand this peace and this reassurance that you have in Jesus Christ. And I want you to understand this doctrine, which points to Jesus, and the practice, which is everything that we do as a church. Everything that we do as a church really serves the same purpose, that what we believe is reflected in what we do, and that what we do is a reflection of what we believe. That they are not just this collection of practices, but one overarching practice that points to Jesus Christ in what we do, so that we are orderly and that we are firm in Jesus Christ. And it's not orderly for the sake of being orderly, not just, to cross our I's and dot our T's or whatever the case may be. He wants this orderliness because it really points us to Jesus Christ. And so that's the point that he makes in verses 6 and 7. Just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to walk in him by being rooted and built up in him and strengthened in the faith just as you were taught, while you overflow in faith with thanksgiving. He loves these groups of three. Just as you receive Jesus Christ as Lord, continue. And how do you continue to walk in him? By, first of all, being rooted and built up. Secondly, by being strengthened in the faith. And thirdly, overflowing in faith with thanksgiving. And that contrast is contrasted with what is coming up in the next verse. And this chapter, especially this opening chapter, he really lays the groundwork for making sure that our human reason does not get in the way of what God's word has said. That our human reason really reigns supreme in this world, and yet God's word is even stronger. So we as Christians, we need to know to bow our heads and say, even though it doesn't make sense to my mind, and even though it might be out of step with the times, at the same time, I can have confidence that my Lord knows what's best for me, and that my Lord has chosen what is best for me. And so he says in verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit, which are in accord with human tradition or the basic principles of this world, but not in line with Christ. If every Christian could grasp this idea, our Christian churches would be far stronger. Philosophy and empty deceit. In accord with human tradition, with human mindsets, in line with human desires and whims and wills and human reason. And it will lead you astray. Not that Christianity is somehow nonsensical or unreasonable or not intelligent, but at the same time, Christians use their reason. Christians use their reason in a way that glorifies God and in the capacity in which it is beneficial for us and beneficial for God. Whether it's a Christian scientist doing his or her science, a Christian other worker, construction worker, engineer, nurse, whatever, using science and using their reason to do what is good for their neighbor. But it's very easy to be taken captive through philosophy and empty deceit, which lines up with the human beliefs, human traditions of this world, and it's empty, and it's nothing, and it will come to nothing. Some examples, maybe it's the opinions about marriage, maybe it's the opinions and the accusations about being closed-minded. Maybe it's just this idea that God blesses me because of what I've done, and that what I've done has value in God's eyes. And it's this distortion of works and the distortion of what we do. Or maybe it's this preoccupation with whatever happens to be, you know, the loudest and the flashiest and the brightest, as opposed to the very simple way that God brings people to faith, not through their decision, not through their effort. And there's no such thing as free will in spiritual matters anyway, right? Even though that doesn't make sense to people. But a Christian knows that the world will make all sorts of promises, just like, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago, that money will make all the same promises as God, but it can't follow through. Likewise, the world will make all sorts of promises, especially if you just give up on that one aspect of teaching, and if you just give up on this other idea, then, dear Christian, you'll be more successful, you'll be applauded, you'll be received, and you will be cheered. Empty tradition that tempts Christians to give up on what they have in Christ, right? So Paul says, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to walk in him by being rooted and built up in him and by being strengthened in faith, just as you were taught, will you overflow in faith with thanksgiving. That's where our focus is. And we'll pick this up again here tomorrow in Colossians chapter 2. But as you go about your day, just say a prayer. Say a prayer that God's people are not deceived by the empty promises of this world and by the deceptive and hollow ideas that this world promotes. But rather, pray that God's Christians cling to this Jesus, in whom all the treasures of wisdom are held and with whom we'll spend all eternity. You can find us Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., 2250 South Hollandsvania Road in Maumee. And if you're not within driving distance, either check us out on YouTube, just search for Resurrection Maumee, or check out the link in the show notes, yearbook.wells.net, and find a church nearby. Any questions, let me know. Pastor Hagen at iCloud.com. God bless your day.